This meeting is now being recorded.
Great. Hi, everyone. So it's now a minute past the hour. I thought this would be a good time to get the call started. This is Aliza speaking. Glad to see you all on here again and hope you're all settled back in after our meeting in Marrakesh. Megan, we're glad to see you on here and glad to hear that you're safe in Brussels. I just wanted to quickly show you the agenda. We have a number of different housekeeping and update items. Just a moment. It seems like Hao and Faber don't have audio. Make sure that we get that fixed. I'm assuming everyone else can hear all right.
I hear you fine.
Okay, good. All right, I'll just keep going, and hopefully Hao and Faber, we can sort that out. So we have a number of housekeeping items that I have listed on the agenda that you should just be hopefully just a few minutes, quick updates. And then at Jonathan's request, we're going to spend the bulk of our time kind of picking up the prioritizing exercise that we've started in Marrakesh to identify areas that the group can work on first and to coordinate a little bit better with the GNSO PDP working group, which had their most recent call on Wednesday. I had asked Carlos if he could give us an update on that, because I know he was on that call yesterday. I haven't heard back from him, and I'm not seeing him in the room, so I might be able to do a quick recap myself, but hopefully Carlos will be able to join later on. So the first point on our agenda is an update on the next face-to-face from Alice, who's been talking to our meetings team. Alice, would you mind?
Yes. Hi, everyone. This is Alice Jansen. So essentially, we're now on two locations, the first one being in Amsterdam and the second one being Washington. As you can see up on the screen, we're targeting mid-May for Amsterdam and then early June for Washington. So we're still working with a meetings team to identify potential venues for these locations, but we're coming close to concrete proposals for you. In the meantime, what I would suggest is send a Doodle poll to the list and ask if you could just complete it and advise us on what your preference would be in terms of dates and location. So if you're in agreement with this, I'll take the action item to circulate a link right after this call.
Okay. Thank you, Alice.
Alice?
Yes.
It's Jonathan.
Mm-hmm.
So the other thing I want to raise is maybe not about this particular face-to-face, but we've had a couple of folks that haven't been able to make any of the face-to-face meetings thus far, and so I just want to raise the issue of trying to get onto our list of face-to-faces, perhaps meetings in India and or South Africa, so that if there are folks that can make it to us, we take the meeting to them. So I just want to sort of put that out there, that we should set as an objective to get everybody into a face-to-face meeting to the extent that we can.
Thank you for your comment, Jonathan. So there's a number of factors that we need to take into consideration. We're looking into venues, one being the bandwidth, but also the equipment, AV, and so on, because these meetings require a lot of logistical arrangements, especially for, you know, recording, transcripts, and so on. So it's hard for us to find location, but I will bring that idea back to the meeting team for future reference. Thank you.
Thanks, Alice. I just don't want to leave two members of the team out altogether here because we're not accommodating them enough. That's all. So let me know if there's anything I can do to help tracking down venues or anything like that.
Okay. Thank you, Jonathan.
Okay. Thank you, Alice. Any other questions or comments on that? All right. So Alice will send out that doodle poll, and we'll keep you all posted on what we find out from our meetings team. The next item on our agenda is just a quick note on your statements of interest. Margie, I think you're going to address this.
Sure, yes. Good morning, everyone. As you recall, when we were in Marrakesh, we had the policy updated to include the language that we've been discussing back and forth. The only action item here is based on that new policy. If any of you need to update your statements of interest, then please go ahead and do so. As you may recall, when you applied for the to get appointed to the group, you submitted some paperwork with the application, one of them being a statement of interest. So I just wanted to use this time to just remind you that, you know, based on the new policy, if there's anything you want to add or change, to go ahead and do so. We'll go ahead and circulate the list, the form, so you'll have that easy for you to fill in. Any questions about that? Okay. Well, thank you.
Great. Thank you, Margie. So I think I am up next. If you scroll down, I have a couple of slides on the Nielsen Consumer Survey and the Analysis Group economic study work. We've been working with our sub-team on finalizing the survey and the study, and I just wanted to get back to the full group on this since not everyone is in either or both of the sub-teams. On the consumer survey, the last outstanding item we had discussed on our last day in Marrakesh, David Taylor had suggested adding a couple of questions that got at the a little bit more to the purpose of creating a website and what you expect to be the purpose of a site based on its TLD. So based on the language that David suggested in a conversation with David Dickinson from Nielsen, we changed question 765 because it was a bit similar to what David was suggesting, and that was changed to the language you see here in front of you. We also getting a lot of feedback. I think it's Dan, can you go on mute? I think it's coming from your line. We also added a question 890 further down, which got a little bit deeper into this question as well, and this was a new question, again, based on David's language that Nielsen helped refine a little bit. So I just wanted to show these to you and let you know that we told Nielsen these were the last updates as we agreed on with the team. So they've begun their translation work and will be fielding the survey within probably the next week or two. So thank you, everyone, for your help in getting this put together, and we're really looking forward to seeing what the fielding results look like. Any questions on this? Okay. Excuse me. So the next update has to do with the analysis group and their economic study. I circulated to the competition sub-team the data requests that analysis group will be sending out. There were a couple of additions based on our conversation in Marrakesh with Greg Rafer of analysis group. And Dan had suggested two more additions, which you see here. One, whether third-level domains are available, third names at the third level are available, and any related pricing information, as well as any whether any names are offered for free and what the qualifying criteria are for free names. So I think those will provide us with some interesting insights as well. So, again, we're treating these as the final versions of the data requests that analysis group is going to send out to registries and registrars. ICANN is planning to send out kind of a heads-up letter to the registry and registrar stakeholder groups this week. so they're aware that this is coming. The requests are going to a smaller subset, a sample of registries and registrars, I think we've discussed with you, but in order to ensure confidentiality, we're not disclosing who is and is not in the in the sample itself. I've also talked to Jonathan about maybe reaching out more directly to registrars, and Jonathan, that's something we can talk about more here now or talk about further with the competition team on their next call, which I think will be next Wednesday. But that's where things stand with the analysis group.
Yeah, I don't, this is Jonathan. I don't think there's anything that we need to discuss. I think the request is going to be the request, and all we're going to try to do as much as possible is back channel to our friends in the registrar community to, you know, make them more charitable to the request. So I think the request is a result of our noodling in this group, and then everyone will be working behind the scenes as much as they can to get the registrars to be responsible.
I think that would be great. Thank you. Any other questions or comments on that topic? Okay. I will just scroll back up to the agenda here. So the next item we just wanted to bring to your attention, and unfortunately I don't have the link to this yet. I don't think it's been posted, but a letter was sent from the ICANN board yesterday to Jonathan as the chair of the review team and to the three chairs of the GNSO PDP working group regarding PICS reviews. Jonathan, I don't know if you wanted to say a few words about this. We were hoping to send out a link to the letter beforehand, or you can forward the letter yourself, but wanted to just make sure everyone knew about it.
Alisa, I still don't think I've received it.
Oh, I saw you on an email that it went out.
See.
I'm sorry.
maybe you got it, because then you, at one point you said you were going to forward it to me again or something. Everyone else has seemed to see it, and I don't know if it ended up in Flutter or something else, but I doing a quick search, I don't see it in my inbox.
Huh, okay. I will forward it to you right now, but I will just give a quick overview of the letter. In short, it basically resulted from a conversation that the ICANN board had with the GAC and the ALAC suggesting a review of PICS safeguards. And the board's response was that while a full review would be difficult just in terms of community resources that are already devoted to so many other reviews and so many other activities that are going on, the board suggested that this was a topic area that the review team and the PDP working group were already intending to include in their work, and they suggested that this particular area of work be focused on these two groups, and sort of reassuring the GAC and the ALAC that that's the plan moving forward, and that's where that issue will be addressed. And I will be sure that that letter is forwarded to the review team after this call.
Okay, so, I mean, the net is that it's our responsibility to take a look at it.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
Which I believe was already your plan, but it was kind of an addition.
No, I mean, I'm just amazed at how much discussion there's been about a letter that I never got. But
I'm sorry.
But
I thought
the entire world has asked me about this letter. All right.
Jordan, I see your hand raised.
So this is Jordan Buchanan. My reading of the letter is that the GAC and the ALAC were asking for a review of the PICS. The board said that some combination of the CCTRT and the subsequent procedures, PDP, would be looking at this and, you know, essentially, why don't you wait and see if those groups take a look at this before you decide, you know, before we try to, like, have an independent review. I think we're planning, my understanding is we're planning on looking at that already, but it also, the board letter, the letter from Steve Crocker, does commend both us and or the subsequent procedures, PDP, to take a look at this topic. And so it's certainly, I don't think we're obliged to consider it in our remit if we thought that the subsequent procedures, PDP, was going to look at it instead. Having said that, I think we're probably going to look at it anyways, but I just don't think we should view it necessarily as has to be us. It could be either us or the subsequent procedures, PDP.
Thank you, Jordan. I think that makes sense. I don't think it is an either or. Well, I guess it might be an either or, but it's kind of up to both groups. But I think the intention is that one of these groups will look at it or have indicated an interest in reviewing the topic. So we see the letter now in front of you. We will make sure that this is circulated to the list as well. Any other questions or comments on that topic? Okay. If we can go back to our agenda slide. The next item was revisiting our terms of reference and work plan documents. So actually, maybe we can pull up our terms of reference document now. Jonathan, you want to take over here?
Sure. So, I mean, we've gone through a couple of revisions on this, and then, as we say in Washington, D.C., things were overtaken by events, or OBE. We want to just finally adopt the terms of reference and work plan. One of the areas that we went around in circles on a little bit was on the definition of consumer, and I think where we've landed is kind of where we began, which was defining consumer as either registrant or potential registrant, and internet end users, but added to that the notion that it could be a government agency or a business that fell under the definition of consumer that we had laid out. So if we go down to, I don't know if everybody's got their own scroll control.
You should. It's not synced.
Yeah, okay. So if you go down to definitions, you can see the consumers fall generally into two categories, registrants and potential registrants, and I just lost connectivity while I was reading, and internet users, and I can't read anymore, but that are expecting resolutions to happen online, such as email, and they're trying to get to a web page. And so under that end user, under both definitions, you can see how government agencies, law enforcement, and businesses would fall into those definitions as well. So that's the primary change from the last version that we had, around which we had broad consensus. And so I'm hoping that we can form up around this and formally adopt these terms of reference and move on.
So this is Laureen, Jonathan. Actually, I think it doesn't quite reflect our last discussion, and I sent around text in the chat to what I thought did reflect our last discussion.
Okay. I don't have chat right now.
So I can – I'm happy to also read it out loud. But basically, we had in our last draft, at least according to my notes and versions, we had consumer – being defined as a natural person, and this is taken from the UN guidelines on the recently passed UN guidelines on consumer protection, and it's a conventional definition, generally referring to a natural person acting primarily for personal, family, or household purposes, and may, depending on the context, include businesses and government agencies as well. And then we had switched the order of the internet users and registrants. So we had, for the purposes of this review, consumers generally fall into two categories. One, internet users and other market participants who make use of domains through DNS resolution. DNS resolution, such as by navigating to a URL or sending an email, and two, registrants, and then in parentheses, and potential registrants. That seemed to me to be, based on my notes and recollection, where we ended up. And then there had been debate and discussion about certain additions that Drew and Megan and I had also added. My recollection was there wasn't consensus for those, but I'm happy to open it up to the group if their recollection is different or if anyone wants to make any other last press for anything that they believe is essential.
This is Jonathan. I'm certainly fine with what you just read. Is there anyone else that has an issue they want to raise on this?
This is Drew, for the record. I like Laureen's definition. I think that'll work, and I like the fact that it actually comes from an authoritative source.
Okay. So is there anyone who's opposed?
Sorry, Jordan, I just have a really minor point. I think consumer trust has four prongs, but it's numbered 1, 2, 4, 5. So maybe someone could just clean that up. But I don't think it's material.
Yeah, we'll take care of that. Any objections to that definition of consumer? We probably don't need to say consumer twice either. Okay. Does anybody else have any objections to the document as it's current with those changes? Can we adopt this as our terms of reference? Laureen and Jordan, I'm assuming those are old hands.
Yep.
Yes, sorry.
All right. I don't know process-wise, and maybe somebody from staff knows the answer to this. This is like one of the few times where we all need to have consensus on something, I guess, and I don't know what consensus represents in the group and whether or not we have sufficient quorum on this call to make this or if we have to put this up the list. Got pretty good participation on the call today.
Margie has her hand raised.
This is Margie. There's no defined level of consensus. I think you might want to use the approach as chairs that communities used to, probably what the GMSO generally does. And if we don't have enough coverage on the call, I think we've got pretty good representation. We could always send it out to the list for confirmation, but I take a different approach.
Yeah, I think we've got good coverage on the, there's 17 members, and we have
11.
We have 11 people on the call?
Yes.
On the team?
11 members are present.
Okay. All right, so I guess we'll say provisionally that this is adopted. We'll put it out to the list for objections, and then take silence as consent on the group of for adoption of the terms of reference.
Great, that sounds good. So the other document that remains for discussion then is the work plan, which we didn't really make any changes to. Wondering if my team can upload that document. The only thing I think we would change would be our the timeline, because now we have kind of a better schedule of calls going forward. We didn't really list very many milestones in there. We could list some more if there are any from the sub-teams, but we could kind of use that timeline as a suggested timeline going forward and go from there. I don't know if there were any other comments or questions or edits you wanted to make to the work plan. Jonathan, if you had taken a look at that. So this is the review call timeline.
Right. So, I mean, this may be the first time that some of the folks have seen the review calls schedule. So it might be worth going over that. Mm-hmm. That just got finalized yesterday. I don't know if you want to talk us through that. Someone on staff, Jordan, do you want to speak up?
So I'm just speaking to the work plan itself. The work plan currently envisions, has a number of milestones and currently envisions completion of the final report in December, which would make me really happy if we could do that. But I think I've gathered that we're actually targeting a later date for the final report. So I think the general framework of the work plan is fine. I think the schedule in it probably is not fine. And so we either need to revise the schedule somewhat or pull it out. I would roughly suggest that we have like a separate live living document. That's what our sort of planned milestones and schedule and so on look like. That's not subject to formal review in advance, but we keep up to date as a project management tool and that we make transparent to the community as well. But if we were going to bake a schedule into the work plan, then I think it needs to be more accurate than the one that we've got up there right now.
Anyone else have any thoughts on that? I'm inclined to agree with Jordan that the, we've been trying to keep the schedule as it was originally proposed, but sort of been winking at everyone about the possibility that it would take longer. But pulling the dates and the specific schedule out into a separate open document may be the best approach to handle that, so that it can be more of a living and organic document. Carlos, you asked about where are we in terms of using a tool for scheduling? So I don't know what you mean by that question. The we had at our face-to-face in Marrakesh, we had a conversation with staff, and they have tools that they use to generate dependencies and PERT charts and Gantt charts, et cetera, that they can keep published as we make changes or as deadlines slip, et cetera.
but I don't know that we talked to ourselves about adopting a tool specifically for scheduling. So that's the, does that sound right to you? Does that ring a bell? Okay, great. So the schedule changes will funnel through staff, and then they will publish the schedule in out of their project management system on a periodic basis when there are changes to the schedule to make those public. Does that make sense to everyone?
Margie,
you've got your hand up.
Yeah, I have a suggestion. So once we update this this document that's on the screen with the more realistic dates, we can then kind of take that and start building out with the project management tool that we have at ICANN to start fleshing out, how we get there. But probably the best thing to do would be to kind of get a good sense for what do we think at least the realistic date is for the publishing the draft report, and then we can kind of work backwards as we take into account, how long public comment needs to be, how much time it takes to analyze things, that sort of thing. And we can, take that as an action item once we get a good sense for where you think the end point is and then share that with the group.
Thanks, Margie. So I think what we've been saying offhand is that it's probably an 18-month turnaround rather than a 12-month turnaround. But that's somewhat arbitrary. I think that seemed to the group like a more realistic schedule given the amount of work to be done and also some of the dependencies associated with additional data requests and getting back results of phase two of the surveys and the study, et cetera. There was talk in the competition team about, waiting on the results of the registrant survey phase two, where we're going to ask additional questions about alternative internet identities and whether that would lead to another study, et cetera. So I think there's just some dependencies that mean that 18 months is probably a more realistic objective than 12.
So using that as the date, are we assuming then that the June meeting of that year would be the right, next year would be the right date?
Yeah, let's shoot for that.
Okay. Then we'll go ahead and see. Try to start filling in some of the details of a project plan.
Thanks, Margie. Barring that, other than pulling the schedule out and keeping it separate. Are there any other issues with regards to the work plan that people would like to raise? Jordan said it looks good. I don't hear anything from anybody else. So I think, again, with the caveat that we'll pull the schedule itself out into its own, into the project management software and keep that as an organic document where we keep track of dependencies and such things, then I think the work plan is, again, tentatively agreed to, and we'll put it out to the list for objections or otherwise consider it adopted. Before we jump to the next topic in the agenda, I wanted to briefly mention Slack.
We talked about it in the Marrakesh meeting. We looked at a couple of different alternatives for team communication management. One that Megan had pointed us to, that it was created by the European Commission. It was more of a forum-based approach. And then Slack, which is sort of a instant messaging-based approach. And we settled on Slack for a variety of reasons. And so we will be working together with ICANN staff to put Slack in place for everyone. And I'm happy to do some kind of walkthrough, or someone from staff can. It will basically take the place of group emails. Your schedules for the meetings will still come as regular schedule requests via email. And as I mentioned to Carlos, it's not a scheduling tool. It's really just a threaded communications tool, so that we can easily go back and find where we are in various conversations. So that's something we hope to get going here over the next week or so. And then Carlos, I guess you just got on. You asked a question about whether we're going to meet during, after, or before ICANN 56 in Helsinki. And Alice addressed this earlier and put up some dates either for Amsterdam or D.C. And we'll be getting a doodle poll that will be going out shortly so that people can express their preferences for when and where they'd like to meet prior to Helsinki. Carlos, you happen to know I raised the issue of trying to meet closer to India and South Africa for the benefit of some participants that have had trouble making it, and ICANN staff are looking into that as well. Any other questions on sort of work plan, housekeeping, meetings? I think the other thing on which we were able to reach full consensus in Marrakesh is that we don't want to have any more face-to-faces during ICANN meetings. People were pulled in too many different directions. So there seems to be real consensus on that. So we'll work around that in the future.
David here, if I may, just quickly. Or did everyone go?
I'm still here, David.
Oh, you can hear me. Sorry, suddenly there was such a long silence, I thought I'd fill it, not with a joke or anything. But just on the venue as well, following up on what you said there with Carlos and I, because we obviously had that discussion with you, and I'd spoken to Calvin as well, and he... For a South Africa option, just so staff know, and he thought he could certainly help host something if we wanted to do something there. So just so you've got that data point. I don't know if Calvin's on the call. I'm not sure whether he is or not. But do reach out to him. We sort of discussed it even on numbers, so he'd be more than happy to host.
Thank you, David. This is Aliza. I think I started speaking earlier and I was on mute. So
that may have happened to me too.
Yeah, I felt pretty dumb. So I wanted to return to our agenda, to the last portion, which was to focus on the application and evaluation process portion of the review. I thought we could start off this discussion by having Carlos give us an update on the PDP working group. which met on Monday. Carlos, I reached out to you on this, but I'm not sure if you saw my message in time. So I'm sorry to spring it on you now, but I thought it would be helpful for the group to hear a bit more about what happened on that call and what that group is planning. So, Carlos, go ahead.
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, loud and clear.
Hello. Oh, thank you very much. I don't know if we're recording. I had trouble to setting this up. If we're recording, this is Carlos for the record. We had a very good call. The question of relation with other working groups like ours was raised very early in the call by Alan Greenberg, the chair of ALAC. And Carlton and myself, who were on the call, were able to tell him that communication is very important there. And we are all aware about that, and we rely on a good communication between the chairs of both groups. Then they started presenting the same presentation we had in Marrakesh, a little bit more detailed. And it starts with a very good chart, with a very good page of the presentation, with a very clear hierarchy of what they're looking at. And our review team is mentioned in point number 3 or 4, so very early in the list. I can look at the page again, is number 3. And then they started discussing the subgroups, but we were able to discuss only 2 of the subgroups, if I remember right, Lisa. And the discussion of the subgroups was done by Jeff Newman, and it was very thorough, very interesting. It's a very, very long list of issues. And the rhythm of the calls is very fast. We're going to have another call on Monday, which I can't be because of the time shift. Neither can Carlton because he's flying to New York, so we have a hole there. I hope Elise can participate at least. And my general feeling to open it up for questions is that they are going to have a much slower pace than we are going to have. If that helps Jordan. it's a much slower process. For example, they have in the list a question about the use of the reserve proceeds of the applications and so on. They were not aware that we already had covered that point with a very good presentation by Xavier in Marrakesh. Then after the call, I think it was yesterday, there was a very long brief by ICANN's chairman of the board, Steve Crocker, on the relationship between the different efforts and groups. So in general, I think there is a very, very high level of awareness about possible overlaps, and there are no negative issues. We just have to continue participating as a between the chairs and as a liaison, and I'm ready to participate in all calls but next Monday. And we have to keep our ears open. I have no worry, as I said in Marrakesh. We're looking back at what has happened. They have a much longer list of complaints, of much more detailed issues, and so I'm ready to keep you posted and up to date on these issues. Thank you.
Thank you, Carlos. We've uploaded that slide deck from Monday's discussion, if it might help all of you to kind of see how they're organizing their conversation. Maureen, I see your hand raised.
Yeah, Carlos, I had just a question. When you say a much longer time frame, I'm just wondering what you think the time frame is, if you have any sense of when you say much longer. Are we talking 2 years? Are we talking 6 months longer than ours? I'm just curious if you had a more defined sense of what the time frame is.
Yes, of course, Lorraine. The structure of the PDP is to create substreams or work groups. They have not agreed on the word. And there are some issues in some of the subgroups that are really beyond the PDP, I would say. I don't know how strong the working groups will be, because that will, of course, dilute forces. Right now, the group is huge. Alone in the call, the 50 people were in the call, but the moment it goes into subgroups, becomes more difficult, because there are some turning issues in some of the subgroups. For example, one I'm very close to is country and territory names and geographic names and so on, where we need inputs of other constituencies like the GAC and so on. So I can't say how long it be, but you know, an average a full PDP cycle is at least 18 months. And the way this one looks, I wouldn't assume it would be faster than that. This is a statistic that I checked, I don't know, that we checked 2 years ago. Really, really 18 months is like a very reasonable time. So I think we are looking here at a 2-year cycle, if everything goes with the same speed is going. But the most important thing is I think we're making a stop and looking, okay, how far has the new round progressed by today, and what has hindered better progress and so on. And we're not going to get into the level of detail of some of the issues, particularly issues where there are no data, no numbers. I hope this helps.
Thanks. That is helpful, Carlos.
Thanks, Carlos. Are there any other questions for Carlos? So this is Laureen. That's an old hand, I assume.
Sorry.
So the primary area for overlap is, ironically, the portion of our review that will probably be in some ways the least data-driven, which is the application and evaluation process portion of our review. So it's kind of important to remember that we have our review. Somebody's going to have their mute. And has a child in the background, I think.
Oh, God, that's me. I'm sorry.
So I don't think, and I guess this is a reasonable for us to discuss. It's not in clear to me that there's a connection between the application and evaluation process of our review and our analysis of consumer trust, competition, and consumer choice. It's not immediately apparent to me that the lens through which we should be looking at the application evaluation process is a CCT lens, but is instead a separate, portion of the review. So I feel like we should have that conversation to some extent, because it helps us define scope. And I see there's some hands coming up. So what I wanted to do for the next hour is to begin a conversation, and I think maybe even using the slide deck from the PDP presentation yesterday, and look at some of the issues that were raised. And I think we can, with some alacrity, find the things that are not going to be high priority issues for this group, or that go into a level of detail that we would consider to be policy implementation and not the purview of the review. And then try to come up with a kind of prioritized list that says that that performs a kind of risk assessment, that says that we are going to look at these things, but
these are areas that we consider to be lower risk for contradiction down the road, and a lower risk for the PDP review process to proceed, so that we can convey some confidence to the PDP working group that there are areas that are lower risk than others as they proceed down a their own review process. I think it's not enough to say they're looking, that we're looking backward and they're looking forward, because the entire first half of what they're going to be doing involves looking backward as well. So that, the problem is about the findings portion of both of our review processes and what will happen when there's conflicts between them. So for that, I'll open it up to discussion. Are Carlos and Lorena those new hands, or are they still old hands?
Sorry, I thought I had lower.
I don't have a hand.
Okay.
No, it's my hand is not raised.
Okay. And Carlos, your hand is not raised either?
Not too much.
Okay. Then maybe it's a connectivity problem. I apologize. So is anyone's hand raised that maybe I'm not seeing?
I don't see any in the room right now, Jonathan.
All right. Thank you. So can I take that to assume that what I just said made sense, and that we should go through the process in that way and do a kind of a risk assessment that we can then, that I can then take to, Jeff and Stephen and Aubrey to, you know, talk about where we are with respect to their list? Does that make sense? Excuse me.
Yep, makes sense.
Okay. Great. I'm sorry, I'm under the weather here. So, I think the best place to start is probably on the Workstream 1 slide, which is slide number 5. Does everybody have have scroll control now?
We're going to upload those slides again. I think you're seeing an old screen, Jonathan.
Oh, am I? Okay. Should I try to do a refresh, maybe?
Might want to.
All right. Hang on. I have to upgrade my parents' internet connection, obviously, here.
If I may, Jonathan, I just want to, I could check page number 3 is this list that I consider is a very, very good guideline to keep in mind, and we're pretty up high in the list.
Right. So we can, are you giving everyone independent scroll control, Aliza? Is that the...
Yes, everyone should have scroll control.
So following Carlos's recommendation, if we go to slide 3, the overall questions, you can see that the very first question is probably one that's outside of our purview, about whether or not there should be subject and procedures. It's my understanding that a purpose of our review is to say that if and when there are, it would be better if these reforms were in place, prior to additional procedures or something along those lines, but that we've not been asked to assess whether or not there ought to be for the procedures. So that's certainly a question for that PDP and not for us. Excuse me. But here's where it gets a little bit complicated, is things like predictability separated out from consumer trust, for example, I think starts to become an interesting problem. I think, again, as we look at our review process, we have a separate portion of the review which is, in fact, looking at the application evaluation process. And so the degree to which the implementation enhanced or discouraged those objectives, I think is a big portion of what we're reviewing, but in the separate portion that's about the application and evaluation process, we'll be looking at some of these other questions as well, predictability, et cetera, because there was a big issue among our group about whether or not the process was sufficiently open and available to the developing world, for example. So there's going to be a number of different areas for evaluation that cut through a number of these questions about predictability, community engagement, et cetera. So that's, I think, going to be where a lot of the overlap potentially occurs. One of the questions still on slide 3 here they have is on TLD differentiation. Does a one-size-fits-all approach, brands, geos, communities, et cetera? And I know, and maybe I'll ask Jordan to speak to this a little bit. This came up a little bit in the competition arena about when we were doing our own prioritization exercise. And maybe, Jordan, you can share a little bit about the conversation that took place with respect to TLD differentiation.
Yeah, certainly. I think we ended up putting this on our lower priority set of questions. It was something that was flagged. For example, do geos or community TLDs have an advantage or disadvantage when it comes to competition or providing consumer choice? And decided that just in the interest of prioritization that we'd move that to the lower prioritization tier. I think there's not very the geos, I think, are the one category of TLDs that you probably could take a reasonable look at right now, in that there's a sufficiently large number of them that have actually launched that you could perhaps draw some conclusions about their efficacy versus other types of TLDs, but brands and communities, I think, in general, there's very, very few of them have launched at this point, and so I think it would be very hard to draw conclusions. So at least in the competition and consumer choice analysis, I think we decided that we weren't going to focus, we were going to look at other modes of competition as opposed to what kind of TLD it was. It may end up showing up a little bit in some of the lenses that we look at the market analysis. So, for example, when we say we did a geographic-based market analysis and we said, what are the TLDs that people in Germany would want to register, some of the geo-TLDs might show up there as a result. But I think that's through the lens of the market analysis, not really focusing on what type of TLD it is per se. So that's what we're looking. That's where we landed on the competition and consumer choice. I do think that this seems like a topic area that we could probably, in general, defer to the. It's a big chunk of topic that I think there's a lot of policy laden in it, and there's not a lot of data to try yet. And so I would in general say this might be a good area for us to defer to the subsequent procedures PDP.
Thanks, Jordan. I mean, you jumped to the finish line on that conversation, hopefully not too quickly for the group, but the I think the issue here is that there are a number of people in the group that are concerned about us simply letting things go and deciding not to review them. It feels early in the game to do that, et cetera. And so I think that's why we're talking about this in terms of risk, that we're not going to shy away from exploring some of these issues so that we can communicate to the team that we think there's a low likelihood that they'll have a significant impact on our review. And I think that that's the lens through which we're going to try to look at some of these issues and communicate those results to PDP so that they can kind of go full steam ahead and with a lower risk of conflict, a year from now when we're both pretty deep into our reports. Carlos, is that a hand up?
Yes, this is a new hand. I like very much the way Jordan put it. I like very much the way Jordan just put it. I mean, there are some issues where we have elements enough or data or cases to discuss. There are areas where probably we don't have this information or we would lose time. I like very much this kind of benchmark that he mentioned.
Thanks, Carlos. And again, the only caveat there is that I don't know that the application evaluation portion of our review will be quite as data intensive as the other parts of the review, the CCT portion of the review. But if there's not enough evidence for us to make an evaluation of them generally, then I think that, again, we can make it a fairly low risk discussion with the PDP. Are there other questions about that particular issue? So we had when we had a conversation in Marrakesh, admittedly with a subset of people. There was some discussion about brand TLDs generally and TLD separation as being lower priorities for us. And so is there some general agreement that that's probably a lower risk area for the PDP process to proceed in parallel to ours with a low risk of conflict down the road? And I've just lost connectivity again. So, Aliza or somebody, if you can tell me if there's a hand up or something like that, let me know. All I have looks like an old hand from Carlos.
I don't see any hands up in the room right now.
Great. Okay, so if we go to the next slide here, the slide four of Jeff's slides. As Carlos mentioned in his review, things are pretty specific and in-depth in this presentation, and there's going to be areas where they're diving into a level of specificity that we may not in our review. But because we're looking at this thing through a different kind of lens. So if you recall, as we looked at some big questions we were going to ask about the process, one of which that came up quite a bit was serving the developing world. And so rather than asking the general question about whether the applicant guidebook is the right implementation of the recommendations for all parties, I think that we will probably try to look at this through the lens of the larger questions that we came up with as part of our review priority. And so a large portion of this, for example, was developing world, and so we might turn this around and say, you know, did the application guide, the applicant guidebook, was it a sufficient communication tool for underserved communities in the developing world, for example? The clarity of the application process, you know, things like that. And so part of this may come down to carving out specific portions of the of these questions that that we have established a high priority in. And again, things like accreditation programs, I don't think that we'll be getting into that level of detail in our review, probably, although they may come up in discussions about the accessibility and availability of the application evaluation process in the developing world.
Jordan has his hand raised, Jonathan.
Who does?
Jordan.
Okay, Jordan, go ahead.
Thanks, Jonathan. It's Jordan Buchanan. So on the one hand, I feel like this is an insane level of detail for either the CCTRT or the policy development process to be taking a look at. A lot of this seems just purely like implementation questions. I do feel like there's going to be a lot of overlap in terms of the initial, to the extent we can call it data, the anecdote gathering process. In our review of the application process versus the topics that the subsequent procedures PDP seems to be interested in looking at here. So it strikes me that this sort of area, which I'll describe as applicant experience, at least the first two sub-bullets here, I think that's also an area that we had identified that we were concerned about. This just strikes me as an area that we really need to work very closely with the subsequent procedures PDP to figure out essentially how we're going to go to applicants and or staff. I think the staff side may already be largely covered by the implementation review, but it's certainly the applicant side. How are we going to learn about their experiences? I think we'd want to do that in collaboration with the subsequent procedures PDP group such that we can just do a single pass. And I just think there's going to be no way to do that other than to either, you know, do interviews collaboratively or put together a questionnaire that someone else administers collaboratively, et cetera. So I think we'll end up figuring out how to split this stuff up, but the initial pass of, like, talking to folks, I think we're definitely – I don't think it's even possible to split it up. We're just going to have to do it combined.
Okay, thanks, Jordan. Anyone else have a comment about that? So, I mean, I guess what that adds is another category of item for this initial pass-through, which is items for closer collaboration or something like that. I'm sorry, I don't have a better idea up front about how to organize this particular process. But thanks, Jordan. I think that's a good recommendation. And so let's try to capture that notion of another category of so low risk, high risk, and then also just an area in which we just need closer collaboration, like building the survey together, conducting interviews together, or something like that. Any other questions? can't see anything that doesn't connect.
There are no other raised hands.
Great. Thank you. Okay. So then that's probably this app, as you say, the application, applicant experience probably falls in that category. This might just be too hard to walk through by piece, because it is in such a level of detail. It may be something that it's worth just taking a pass at and circulating around the group. Sorry, I'm just reading as I go here.
Jonathan, it's Margie. Can I make a suggestion?
Of course.
If it's helpful, we could create some sort of, poll or something. Maybe I'll ask Al about how this might work, where you could prioritize, like we could just put these items that are in the in the PowerPoint and assign, have everyone assign a priority level to them, you know, like a one or two or three or something like that, and then come back to the group on the ones that didn't seem to have any interest.
Right. I think that makes sense. The other thing that might make sense is sort of creating like a crosshatch with the priorities, the questions that we decided were priority questions for this portion of our review as well. And that might be a good good initial filter, right? I mean, I think there's probably some things that this reveals that we didn't think of and that we're going to want to make priorities in our review. But that in large measure, our own brainstorm about our priorities will help guide, which of these areas we're are least likely to delve into deeply. So some kind of a document that goes across and kind of, I'm sorry?
Yeah. I'm sorry, something, so you're thinking some kind of mapping document that matches this to our list of issues that were developed by the various sub-teams, and then identify the ones that obviously are outside of that. That could be a helpful tool as well.
That's right. Because again, I think some of this will have to do with whether or not the issue itself is important, but also how we'll be approaching the issue. The applicant experience, we may be less concerned about what it was generally and more about how specific communities were affected by it, for example. And so we need to, we may be doing a different type of analysis of it, talking to a different type of applicant. We may be more inclined to be talking to people who didn't apply or who dropped out of the process, and more so than people that, that got successfully through the process. Just found it frustrating. I think that's part of what will come out of that exercise. And that may be the best way to get through this. Developing World was one. The best way to consume GAC advice was another one for us. I know that string confusion was an issue for us. Oh, we got a lot of feedback on the line now. It sounds like.
Jonathan, may I?
Yes, please go ahead, Carlos.
Yes, the GAC advice, we should refer to the letter by Steve Crocker directed to you and the chairs of the PDP, because I think this is a rather relevant issue that we cannot put aside.
Oh, for sure. Even the letter from Crocker.
Yes, exactly. I think it came out yesterday, and so this we cannot avoid having our list.
No, agreed. I mean, I think we were already planning on incorporating that into our review. So I'm now just coming off the top of my head trying to remember what the issue areas that were that we had raised already. There was a question about communities. There was a question about confusion. Question about the best way to absorb GAC advice. Were PicSpecs the best way to do that, for example? So we just need to get back to that, back to that list, and then see if there's areas that we want to expand that list based on the brainstorming that the PDP guys did that may point to areas that I know they did raise the areas of competition that we hadn't thought of, for example. And so we need to make sure that we're incorporating those as well. Universal acceptance was a big part of consumer choice, for example. So yes, Margie, if you guys can help with a document like that, I think it may prove a better exercise than going through this slide presentation, which is what I thought we would do.
Okay.
Just because I think it's too, I think we want to look at this through the lens of our priorities. Do other people have other recommendations associated with this? I may close this topic down until we can get better organized. I apologize for not being more on top of this, but sort of a dynamic issue, and I'm at a dynamic ebb at the moment. So I think we have some agreement on what our approach should be in terms of the framework for discussion with the PDP folks. High and low risk areas of overlap, and then areas of the need for strong cooperation. So that as we're going to try and go through and interview applicants and things like that, we find a way to do it together and look for other areas that fall into that category as well. Are there any other categorizations that people think that we should add to that framework? Is everybody happy with that? Otherwise, what I'll do is maybe close this topic for now and try to get this organized more around our own priority list and then reopen it on the circulate it on the list and then reopen it on the next call. I don't see anybody's hand up. But who knows? I may be looking at the room from half an hour ago. Jordan says, circulate it on Slack. Yes. Jordan, have you logged into Slack yet?
I have.
All right.
I think Maureen and I are the only two that have.
Are you the only ones invited so far?
Oh, okay.
So I need to turn you into an admin, and then you need to add channels.
Sure.
Okay. All right, so we will get Slack up and running here in the next few days as well. I'm talking with staff, I believe, on Friday about what they need to do on their end. But no one else has received an invite, Carlos, because we were just trying to get it set up. Okay. So I know that we have a lot more time left on the call, but I just I may just make a command decision here that we let this go for the time being, unless anybody has any objection, until we can organize the topics in a way that's more suitable to us, and call it on the call. Is everyone comfortable with that?
Yep.
Okay. All right, folks. Thank you. I'll go through these with staff, and we'll come up with a document to boil this down to some more central questions, and we'll circulate it and bring it up on the next call. Other than that, we'll get Slack up and running, and we should have that running before the next call. And then the sub-teams will be meeting next week. That sound right?
That's right.
Hey, Jonathan, this is Aliza. The sub-team, yes, we'll be meeting next week, and I think we'll circulate a schedule of calls to the group.
And Megan, we'll probably schedule some kind of a special session for a training on Slack. That might be the easy thing to do. So everyone have a happy Holi tomorrow, and get yourselves covered in paint, and then for those of you that celebrate Easter, put the paint on the egg. Thanks everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.